Welcome back, everybody. This is the sixth podcast of MagicCardPro.com. Tonight we're at Grinders Games. They are actually nice enough to put us in their store to let us record for the first time ever. We're also going to be doing a draft live on twitch.tv/TPupAZ. You'll be able to check out the draft there, and also the podcast will kind of be recorded live. So go out, check us out, watch a video, see what we look like, come say hi at the next event where we're at. We'll let you know. But tonight, really, we're going to be keeping it kind of loose. We're going to talk about the SEG Open event that just happened, where Mariah, who is here with her father, Tony, T-Pup Polyakos.
We both got two feature matches.
Both got two feature matches, and one of them they had to face each other, where Mariah got smashed. So
daggers already.
So yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to take live questions from the stream where we're putting the draft out, anything Magic related, and then we're going to do a draft and talk about the picks and the format, maybe even do a sealed if we have time. So yeah, so my name is Josh McBride. I'm the owner operator of Magic Card Pro. We have
Tony Polyako, T-Pup, owner of Grinders Games, also semi-wanna-be good player.
And Mariah Polyako, Panda, Mariah, Panda Girl, I get that too.
So, we're keeping it also, this is all we have tonight. Usually we have six, seven people. We decided to just try and, like I said, keep it light for tonight. So the last event that we were all at was this past Sunday, right? The PTQ up in Standish at Crossroads.
Yep, Crossroads Games.
It was a sealed event, Return to Ravnica. A ton of fun. It was my second sealed event that I've done. I didn't do that many at the pre-release or the release. And I have to say it's not as bomb-oriented as I thought it was. I thought that the 2 and 3 and 4 drops were probably the most important parts of like every single deck.
Yeah, I mean, I had a blast at PTQ, but on that note, huge shout out to Griffin Corrigan for winning the PTQ.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a long time coming.
He went undefeated all day, right?
He was a monster that day, and I'm so happy for him too. If me and Mariah went up to him before the top 8 and were like, "We want you to win," and then we realized we had other friends in the top 8 and we felt really awkward. So we didn't say that to anyone else. And then Griffin won. So me and Mariah feel like pretty responsible for winning that PTQ.
What's it say?
Papa Her.
Papa Her.
It's apparently here.
Oh, cool.
Sean Her in the house, owner of Next Level Games up in Bangor, Maine.
How's it going, Sean? Haven't been to Next Level Games, but I'd love to come up and talk to you about what Magic Card Pro is trying to do with every local store, so.
Single-handedly, the best store in northern Maine, in Bangor, is Sean Hurst.
Oh, he's way up in Maine.
Oh, yeah, but it's an awesome, awesome store.
What's the name of it again?
Next Level Games.
Next Level Games. I'm wondering if that's where my buddy was living in Gray, Maine. So, like, an hour and a half north of Boston, or north of Portland. So, Griffin Corrigan, I actually caught him napping. Yeah. In the 7th round because he drew.
Yeah.
So I saw him like head down on the table just trying to catch some Z's. He was probably up all night grinding away.
Bree and I threw a dice at him.
That's nice.
I took a picture of him. Oh, I should put that on Facebook too.
You should put that on Facebook. Yeah. This is what a winner looks like.
Exactly.
So, I ended up going Celestnia Populate with Collective Blessing, which is a beast in Limited. If you resolve that spell, it's really hard to beat. I mean, there's not that many Enchantment Destruction cards. And I lost to... My first loss was to somebody playing, like, 5-color good stuff, and then they transformed the deck into blue-white good stuff. It was really strange. It worked. I mean, he sideboarded in like 9 cards versus me. So I must have been like 2 or 3 Keening Apparitions, a Detention Sphere, you know, some stuff, because the Collective Blessing just blew him out.
I opened up my Steel Pool pass to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, first thing I see is four Augur Sprees. I'm like, all right, I don't even care what's in the rest of the pack. Going black-red. I had four Augur Sprees, two Annihilating Fires, a Launch Party, and a few Unleashed guys, a few, you know, my curve was sort of heavy. But I thought it was a very good, I was very happy with it from the removal standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And then I win my first round versus Dave Saboomboom. Saboomboom, the judge.
Boom Boom.
I've never met him.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I never can pronounce his last name, so we keep changing it. So
Dave Boom Boom.
Yes, Dave Boom Boom. And then second round, I lost, and then I was like, all right. And I played Dustin Taylor second round, and his deck was very good, and we had really three good games. And I was like, okay, well, I lost to Dustin. That's okay. You know, I played one of the better decks in the room, piloted by one of the probably the better players in the room, and I went three games, and they were really close. So I was like, all right, I'm cool with that. And then round three, I got paired versus this, like, little French kid.
Oh, yeah. I've listened to those guys talk a couple times. I hate it when they come next to a match. Sorry to cut you off.
No.
When a French player is playing, you know, somebody from Maine or something, and then they start speaking French to each other, and we don't know what they're saying, I hate that shit.
Hot snap, call, judge. But so I'm playing this French kid. Each game, he's like, turn three. I'm going to get the name wrong. Lob or something.
Oh, Lobber Crew.
Lobber Crew. Turn five, Hypersonic Dragon. Okay. Game one, he does it. And I probably wasted some early removal where I shouldn't have, and I was like, fine. He's like, Hypersonic Dragon, attack, attack, win. Okay. Game two, again, I waste early removal because I'm like, he's not going to have the turn five Hypersonic Dragon, so I'll be okay. I was like sort of playing like maybe next leveling a little bit too much. He's like, turn five Hypersonic Dragon, smash, smash, smash. So now I'm tilted now because I'm X2. I'm not going to make top eight. And he's like talking to me. I don't know, what is it with me and friggin' French people? I have these bad experiences.
So bad with French people.
And so he's just like, oh, you know, if you don't take care of Hypersonic Dragon early, it's just a beating. And I look at him and I go, are you kidding me? I said, if I get you to zero life, I win the game. The day ends in Y. It's cloudy outside. Would you like me to make any more obvious statements? And the kid was just like, oh, it's JV, blah, 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 blah. So, like, now I'm pissed. And so, like, it's like the last round, and he's playing his win and in versus, I don't know who it is, an American. That's all I cared about. I was like, keep this in the country. Go USA. I was, like, literally, like, tilted. Then I saw the rest of this guy's deck, Frenchie McFrencherson's deck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he has the Hypersonic Dragon that's out of control. Okay, fine, fair. He also has the Detention Sphere, Supreme Verdict, Archon, and like a bunch of other really good things that I didn't see. Like his deck was insane, and if he had actually seen any of those cards like against me, like I was no way I was winning that match against him at all.
Oh, you know what's funny about that deck? That's the deck I passed him.
Really? Now there was someone there who got the Foil Jace, Detention Sphere, Supreme Verdict, Martial Law deck.
Oh.
And it went to a relatively new player.
Yep.
Oh.
But yeah, that deck was out there too.
Third round, there's these two players behind me. One of them's like, yeah, I opened up this four Augur Spree, two, and opened up dad's deck and passed it. And he's like, probably went to some scrub, was always dropping. And he's like, and then he's like, hey, you ready to go? Like,
oh, you had to play him?
No, you know, he was leaving because he sucked out.
And
yeah, he was like, probably went to some really bad player who doesn't know how to play.
So my two losses of the day came to Justin Desai.
A good player?
Yeah, he's a great, he was the guy with the good stuff deck, and his sideboarding was way better than mine was. I had no choices when it came to sideboarding.
No.
And then Alex, they don't have his name right in here, but Oapos. Osapos, I don't know, but he, Alex Neal maybe, I don't know. He has a brother, and they're both very good Legacy players, and they obviously play other formats as well, but he was playing a Azorius Detain build, and it was really, really good. It was just Detain guy after Detain guy, and that's in all of the archetypes, that is the most frustrating thing to play against.
The Tain?
Oh my god, it sucks. Especially when you're just trying to beat somebody's face in with tokens or whatever. It doesn't even matter.
The more I'm playing this set, and not even sealed, draft, standard, in the block of Return of Ravnica cards, my favorite card so far has been Underworld Connections.
Yeah, I've been looking at that card too. I like that card a lot.
I love it in Jund. I love it in Control. I love it in Sealed. I mean, in any format that it'll come in. I mean, there's obviously better bombs and better cards. Mm-hmm. But if you gave me something with an Underworld Connections in it, I would not be sad.
Yeah, that's one of the cards when it was spoiled that was like, oh, paying one life to draw a card is really good, and it's a permanent ability. You can use it time after time, so I think that's a good card.
You want to see Greenleaf Tilt on stream?
Mm-hmm.
So, I built this version of Jund with Desecration Demon, which has been testing. I mean, I was running the original mid-range Jund. Gerard Fabiano gave me a Jund list that was pretty solid. And then we switched it to Mizrim Mortars, and I ran it more like Lauren Nolan Star City mid-range deck
mm-hmm.
with a lot of tulips and stuff. And then... See, he's tilting. Ryan actually built this Desecration Demon Jund variant. I was stealing credit just to tilt him on the stream. But what Ryan's done actually is taken Jund and made it more black-based a little bit with Desecration Demons and a few other cards that are similar to Jund build. But the more I'm playing Desecration Demon, I think it's better than a bit. Than what was that card? The one that was 6/6 flying, you can't win the game, you can't lose the game or something? Abyssal Persecutor?
Abyssal Persecutor.
It is actually far better than that.
That card's insane.
But no one's playing it yet. It hasn't made a top 8 appearance yet.
The card is so overpowered. It does everything. I was saying that it's a control card. And it's probably just more aggro than anything. I mean, the fact that it activates on every single combat phase, yours and theirs, it's retardedly good.
Even the other night in draft, I had one, and I had a bunch of dudes out, and he taps out and plays like a huge like ground creature, and he goes to attack. I sack my entire board, and I only had one dude out. Never mind. I sacked my entire board. I sacked the dude, give him a counter,
mm-hmm.
and that actually put me in lethal range because I was able to sack my own guy to mm-hmm. tap it.
So what about? Because that competes with the Falcon Wrath Aristocrat slot.
Mm-hmm.
So which one is better? I mean, they both kind of do... Like, one lets you sacrifice multiple guys at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes it indestructible, and it gets a +1/+1 counter if it's a human. The Jund lists aren't playing a ton of humans. But it's more about the utility when it comes to that creature, right? So, in your experience, because you have the Aristocrats in the deck that I played against Mariah on the day of the PTQ just to test out a standard deck, I played your Jund deck versus her Naya deck.
Yeah, I think the thing with the Aristocrat is that the Aristocrat has far better synergy with Zealous Conscripts.
Yep.
Because then you're able to, you know, take a creature or anything, take a creature, take a Planeswalker, but you take a creature, attack, sack. And it can act as like a quasi-removal spell.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have different places in different types of decks. So, I mean, I could easily play Desecration Demon in a blue-black control deck where it's like the killing field
mm-hmm.
versus playing it in a like aggro deck like Zombies where you want that Aristocrat to be able to recur Grave Crawls to Blood Artist or something like that.
Right.
And we've got...
Sunday, I play black-red, and usually when, like, I get sealed pools, I'm never happy. Even if it's, like, a really good deck, I'm just don't like it. This time, I was actually, like, I was fine with it, and I liked it. I didn't do well, though. I won my first round, and then, like, second, and then third, and then fourth. I mulled every single game and got mana screwed with two colors. But
mana screwed on two colors. Did you have any fixing? That's one of the things I'm noticing in the set too, is fixing is pretty important. Even in two color decks, I mean, a couple guild gates really helps a lot.
I had one guild gate.
Key runes are amazing.
My Radko's
key rune saved me so many games because that thing kills Thragtusk.
Well, the other thing I notice in especially in sealed and in draft is that the key runes, anything that ramps you up is so good because your 6 and 7 drops are your finishers, and a lot of them are very, very difficult to deal with.
So it will be.
So the key runes, all the key runes are really good. In fact, my strategy in draft generally is just take the best card. Doesn't have to be in color, in guild, or anything like that, but just take the best card out of every pack that you get, and then start taking color fixing a little bit higher. It reminds me of the Zendikar drafts where you had, the Shards block drafts, where you could draft 5 colors because you had all the tri-lands. Well, in this, you can generally do 3 or 4 colors pretty easily. And I've had decent luck drafting in real life and horrible luck drafting on Modo. Awful, awful luck. So maybe we can run through a draft, all three of us, tonight. So the SCG event, you guys went. You know that I don't like the SCG events. I think they're too expensive. But what'd you guys think of the new standard format and all that?
It was okay. I played against a good amount of Jund. And thankfully, I didn't play against a lot of blue-white humans. I did at the 5K, and it wasn't like it was a bad matchup. It's just annoying to play against.
Mm-hmm.
But beforehand, I had changed like my sideboard up a bit and my main board just a bit to be better against Jund and Miracles, because that was a problem. I couldn't deal with Planeswalkers too well, especially when they had Tamiyo and Jace out. That happened a lot. I fell right out of the money last round, so.
So you got to play against Jace? What did you think of Jace? Is he a $50 card or $40 card, whatever?
Like, he's really good and I like him a lot. I think it was, I forgot who it was. Was it Alex?
Alex Morrell, yeah.
Who were like, people don't, play Jace right, or was that somebody else? It was one of like Dustin's friends.
Yeah.
But they were like, people don't play Jace right, and they auto play him and then pump him up one. When really you don't have to do that, and which I don't see a lot. I have a lot of people who just factor fiction against me. It's you have to think a lot though when they do that, because then you have to think like, do I know what's in their hand? Any cards? Are they stuck on mana? Are they this? Are they that?
Right.
I think it's up there. I'm not sure if it's $50, maybe $35 or something. But.
That's pretty expensive Planeswalker. See, I thought Vraska was like the best one that they printed in the set, but everybody loves Jace.
Vraska's totally a sideboard card for me, especially my Jund deck. Totally a sideboard card. I brought him in maybe twice all day. And when he came in, it was great because he's essentially a 5 casting cost Vindicate.
Right.
But.
And gain 2 life.
But it's just been so.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking like Bug Walkers or some kind of Planeswalker deck with Vraska and Jace even, but haven't seen it yet. What do you think of the new Delver decks? Like the red blue Delver decks?
Nope.
Delver gone?
Done.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
It's done. I've seen some blue white red Delver decks floating around with like Geist and Unsummons and Snapcasters and Runechanter's Pike, Thought Scour.
Yeah, but.
They just.
It's okay.
They can't handle some of the beef that's out there right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they lost one of their most important spells in Vapor Snag, you know? Mm-hmm. Card was housed.
And Unsummon does not cut it.
No.
Unlike her, I finished in the money at Providence. So I got my cool 63rd place.
Conscripting and a Johnny on 20.
That's right. Yes, that's how I won my final round. My opponent was playing some sort of like weird Naya thing. No, Bant. He was playing Bant. And he, I knew he had a Dissipate in his hand, and he played two spells to try and flip my Huntmaster. And he tapped out all of his blue, and he puts his Ajani to 8. And I'm like, and I was holding the Conscript for like 6 turns. And I'm like, Conscript? He's like, sure. And I'm like, Ajani? And his like jaw just dropped a little bit. I'm like, ultimate that bitch?
20
tokens?
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, so it was a good way to end the day.
I do like when, like I said, like, somebody pointed out that people plus Jace when they don't need to and it's not necessary. But I do, a couple times, though, people have fact or fiction, they put it to 2 and I conscript it the next turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I fact or fiction it myself.
Yep, and kill it. Yeah, conscripts is still such a scary card. I mean, just even without the whole Planeswalker interaction.
I'm playing it, though.
I don't know why. I think that card
is... I just picked up 6 of them at $1.50 a piece, one of them Russian. That card's going to be an $8 card pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. I mean, it's... whatever. It finishes games, you know? They'll leave a blocker back or whatever to keep you from killing them, you know, trying to race you, and then you just conscript their last guy away. It's a good card. Yeah, what else? I mean...
We also had a feature match at Providence.
Yeah. Well, you each had 2, right?
So, it was round 2, and it was funny because I sit down across my opponent, and I hear them call, and one of the first names they call is Dads. And then I stop shuffling my deck, and I just start packing it up. And, like, I just knew. And my opponent's just, like, looking at me. And he was one of those people that, like, I try to be tolerant of certain players. He was one of those people that I really had to tolerate because he was nice. I was like, let's have a good game and all that. The second they called us for the feature match, he was like, oh, well, I have a feature match. And
the funny part was, it wasn't him that they called the feature match for. It was for her.
Yeah.
They individually gave us a feature match. And then they're like, once they found out, they're like, oh, let's put them next to each other.
So, like, that's why I was like, hey, you got that one on your own, because they called, it was her that they called for the feature. And then they found out that, like, oh, wait, we got both of them. Let's put them next to each other at the tables. But then here, I can just picture her opponent's like, oh, I have a feature. And Mariah's like, yeah, it's me, not you.
It was, like, if he was like that just off the bat, I guess I wouldn't be as annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he went from being really nice and was like, let's have a good game. And then the second they call him for the feature match, he's like, oh, I'm in the feature match area. I need a...
So yeah. I have yet to have a feature match, but I would just treat it like any other game, right? I mean, isn't that all it is?
Yeah.
So it sounds like you just got paired up against a douche.
Unless you get... I mean, you got to be able to handle, depending on where you're at, you do have to handle many people around you more than a normal round. But if you've... I say this with a grain of salt, is like, if you're any good... You're usually, if you're any good, you've been in those situations where you're playing at table 1 or table 2 or table 3 where there is a general bigger crowd as the round goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be used to having those people around making comments, you know, talking, you know, like, oh, that was such a bad play or something like that, you know, and it's sort of like, you know, you just got to let that shit roll. You got to let that roll off your shoulders. You can't really, like, take it too seriously.
Yeah.
The next feature match we got was round 4 and it was against each other, which... was under the camera and was not fun at all.
It was fun for me.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome for one of you.
Yeah. It was funny because Adam Prozac was commentating and he's very good friends with us and he's an awesome, awesome guy. And he spent more time giving me crap about my non-beta mountains in the deck than anything else. But going back and watching it, she made 2 recognizable play mistakes.
Yeah.
I made about 5. So even Adam and Joey Pasco said, you know, like, dude, you made more mistakes than she did. I was like, yeah, I know.
And you still won. But I think your deck is overall stronger than your deck is. You have some really good interactions in your deck, but just like power level wise, I think yours is better.
I think they're actually both extremely powerful. They're just different paths.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go through all the cards in her deck, and
Boom, suck it.
If you every card in her deck is a bomb. It's a Bimark Angel. Bonfire. Restoration.
Armada Worm's a bitch.
Thrag Tusk. You know what I mean? Huntsmaster. I mean, you don't really have a lack of bad cards there. It's just a different kind of build.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with mine. Every card you'll get in my deck is like a power card, but it's just a different focus on the game.
Although you were running a two of on the Enchantland
Underworld Connections.
Yeah, Underworld Connections. That pulled me out, like, in game three that I played against you. Granted, game one was like I was sideboarded and she wasn't already because I didn't de-sideboard. So that game was a breeze, but game two she beat me, and then game three, Underworld Connections is what won me the game. It was just incremental card advantage.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it was, I think as soon as we saw the pairings, we were a little like, really? We were like, this has to be rigged. Yeah. There's no way this way was just random.
They were just like, we can't do that.
It was on its own. It still felt rigged.
Yeah.
Well, that happened, you guys play each other a lot, right? So.
But at a small tournament, fine.
Yeah. Like,
but at an SCG, like, 2,000 or 1,000-plus person tournament, how many people were at Providence?
It was 350-something.
Oh, that's a small SCG event, huh?
Same weekend as Grand Prix San Jose.
Yeah.
What else?
States. There's a PTQ off in New York. Stuff like that.
So, yeah, I mean, it was... But we get the pairings, and we're like, are you kidding me? And we had talked on the way down driving, because I had a feeling that she was going to get a feature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, I just had a feeling. And I was like telling her, like, look, if you do get a feature, here's what you should keep in mind, and yada, 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 and stuff like that. And then we get it. And I'm like, remember all that stuff I told you on the way down? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, forget it. Be nervous, tilt, make mistakes.
It was like a normal match, though.
Yeah.
The only thing that was not normal, and it was actually one of the mistakes I made, and I'm still annoyed by it, is... One of the games, I play Huntsmaster, and they don't let you use your own tokens. Usually, like, I play Huntsmaster, you know, I use my panda token. Well, they have their own tokens, and they give them to you, and I guess maybe it's, like, more identifiable, or whatever. And the judge is sitting to my right, and he's feeding us the tokens.
Because you have to use the right tokens, right?
Yeah. So I play Huntsmaster, I write down, like, the total, and I say go, and that's when I realize my token's not there. Like, I just sort of look at them. But then I'm like, I already passed priority, I can't be like, hey, I want my token.
Right.
But technically, I resolved half of the trigger, so I had to get my token, but I didn't get it. But it didn't matter if he blast my sack the next turn, but the whole point was is I still didn't get it. And, you know, that's... not how the card goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a mistake, but even the Blasphemous Act just kind of negates the mistake. He would do it anyways. It would just cost him one less.
The commentators didn't catch it.
The funny part was, when I was telling a buddy of mine, Brian Lynch, he was like, oh, you got to play your daughter? And I'm like, if I had to play her on camera, I would totally tilt the shit out of her. I would ask her every turn how many cards she had in her hand. I would retain priority every opportunity I have. I would tell her to stop in her upkeep. I would tell her I had end of turn effects. Just to just constantly just throw off her game. And then we played, and I was just like, go. Because I didn't need to. I just got there.
Fuck off.
On stream.
That's all right.
We'll edit it out.
Yeah.
Actually,
I haven't even been editing.
If you have that cool beep, like, beep.
Oh, yeah.
We can use that for her.
Just whenever she talks, like, every other word.
Yeah.
Make her sound like she's a sailor.
She is like a sailor. Have you seen her on our stream?
Yes.
Yes.
The week before SCG Providence, we played in a sealed 1K. And that went pretty well for both of us.
Yep. She top eighted.
Yep, I think I played Bant. Guild Mage and a bunch of decaying martial law.
That Guild Mage is probably the best one.
Which one?
The Celestia Guild Mage.
No, I played the Azorius one.
Oh, yeah, that one's really good too.
He's insane.
Yeah. I played with the Rix Maddie Guild Mage for the first time last night, the black red one.
Yeah, I haven't. Is it any good?
He's okay. Not anywhere near as good as the green white or the white blue. I mean, those two are.
Maybe you can help me out. What's the card where it's an enchantment and then during your upkeep you get to trade it for one of their permanents?
Oh, something current, conjured currency.
Okay, I don't know if that card's good or not.
I can't tell either. It's the thing that I don't like about it is that you have to wait a turn, so you don't get to use it. It doesn't have an immediate impact on the board. So, like, they play their bomb, you play conjured currency, they swing with their bomb. If they don't get rid of your conjured currency, you just swap the conjured currency for their bomb.
And they can never get it back.
Right. They can't do the conjured currency for it again.
What are your thoughts? Have you played with conjured currency or have you played against it?
Nope.
What about you guys out there in Twitch land? Conjured currency?
Yeah, what do you guys think? I when I played against it, it was good because we were, like, going back and forth taking each other's stuff, and I ended up... I don't say this often, but he was really bad. He took my Guild Mage and didn't activate it at all. He could have swung for lethal like 8 turns in a row, and he was just like, go, go, go. So, I mean, but I could see why it was really good.
Yeah, I've definitely played against people that have win on the board, especially with the Azorius Guild Mage, where they can just detain two guys or give all their guys flying and swing in for the win, and they don't. So that just goes, chalks it up to bad players.
So Gobbler says, well, if you don't get something insane, then it's bad. Because they just let it sit there until you play a bomb.
Oh, that's right, because it keeps you from playing a bomb.
Right, because they can take it. That's a good point. That's a good point. I've only played against it once, so I was sort of like, is it good, is it bad? You know, one of those, I couldn't really judge it off one game. But...
Yeah, that would be... I don't think it's that good. I don't know. There's got to be better cards. It's a 6 drop, I think. So there just has to be better cards.
But at that 1K, I think... Like, I had Martial Law, and I also had Asperia.
Oh, yeah.
I only got it out, like, once. I got it out versus a player who had an Angel of Serenity. Which worked pretty well.
Seems good.
I ended up top eating... Along with, like, Johnny Yu and Ching Sun Chang, Jackie Lee, Dustin Taylor.
And you got matched up against Dustin Taylor round one, right?
Yep. I hadn't drafted RTR before, and, like, it was just one of those things where I was like, do what I'm used to, and all of the RTR stuff I did was Bant and Azorius, so I just went with Bant. I got mana screwed one game, but it just didn't matter because his deck was really good. And he split the top 4, and we're just like, you should have gone all the way. You shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Like, you could have easily taken that down.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. I mean, especially if he's got friends and stuff, he could have probably, depending on who was in the top 4. It's also, what's assailing, what is it, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush or whatever?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had money right then and there. He didn't risk losing it.
He was the only one who had drafted it before, too. I'd say about... I know Jackie didn't, and obviously Dustin didn't, and I didn't. So, at least 4 of the other players, they all just rare drafted. They're just like, that's what we did. Because they were like, we haven't drafted this format yet.
We went to dinner afterwards, and it was a really fun time. We went to this place called Wings Over Lowell or something.
Mm-hmm.
They like 85 different types of wings.
That's overwhelming.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. In fact, there's a 1K in Lowell this weekend on Sunday, which is sealed. And
that's not the Harrison.
No, that's Saturday.
Okay.
Well, this podcast won't be out in time to promote it, but.
It'll be out tomorrow.
Oh, well, if you're in the New England area, there is a fundraising tournament at Harrison's in Salem, Harrison's Gaming in Salem, to raise money to help with expenses for the McManus family, who had 2 of their sons who are regulars at Harrison's. They got hit by a car, very tragic accident. One of the brothers passed away. The other one is still recovering. And we're going to have some awesome raffles, and we're going to have the prize pool is a case of RTR. and the whole New England community has come around to build prize support for this event.
Yeah, the raffle is actually pretty good, too, the prizes that they're giving away. There's like a Trop Island, a box of RTR, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Yeah. So.
But then Sunday, there is a 1K, TCG 1K, at Tabletop Arena in Lowell, Mass., which is even closer to us. And I just realized if we go to that, we can go get wings over Lowell. So I was actually, you heard me before we started the podcast, I was on the fence about going to Lowell.
Yeah.
But now I think I might just go to Lowell and leave her here to paint.
Whatever.
That's a good idea. You'll come back, though, but it'll be like fuchsia and purple. It'll be like the...
Fog bank.
It'll be like a bloody grimace.
Oh, Jesus. That's all I need. So, you want to take some questions from the streamers?
Yeah, yeah. You guys have questions out in Twitchland.
Twitchland. Twitch.
All right, so Twitch people, do you have any questions for sealed standard RTR? Any questions that we can answer? And we will, might not give you the right answer.
But we'll give you a answer.
We'll give you a answer. We'll do a little interactive thing here.
It's like Tony's draw something.
Yeah.
Everything he draws, no matter what the word is, it's just a penis.
Yeah, and that's not, I'm not even joking either. If you ever play me in Words with Friends, it could be like baseball, cock and balls, every time. Who do we got? We got big monster, 8030, Gobbler, James Ford. Sean Papa Her. Sean Stackhouse in the house. Level one judge.
Nice.
Porn name. Sam Marr.
Porn name.
Jared Vale. The Tides. Yotes. Which key rune is the best in limited?
It's actually. Yeah, that's a good question.
That's a standard.
I actually think it's between Rakdos and Azorius.
I don't know. There's a good amount of flyers.
Yeah, but having the Azorius key rune, especially if you look at just the curve in Azorius, it's pretty high. You have the Asperia Skywatch, and then you look at the
Archon.
Bombs. Yeah, Archon and Asperia.
Yeah.
But look at your 1 through 4 drops. There's not a lot with over 3 toughness.
Right.
Which means Rakdos key rune kills all of it.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. That's why I think Rakdos is probably better than Azorius. But if I had to pick two, it would be Rakdos and Azorius.
I would actually disagree and say Rakdos and Silence.
The 3-3 thing.
Centaur.
Reason why is just because green white is so good in this format as well, and it is actually the kind that you would want to ramp into like an Armada worm or something.
They're all saying Rakdos also.
Yep, Rakdos.
The Golgari one, I think, is the least played though.
Yeah, it is, and I actually like that one too. Death Touch is pretty relevant. I mean, yeah. It stops a lot of big guys.
I mean, granted, one of the people who said Rakdos is a judge,
right?
So we got a
which one was it?
Stackhouse.
Oh.
So we sort of have to not
disregard
give it
that. One.
Yeah, disregard that vote. But you know, from real players, not just kidding, Sean. Love you.
Yeah, Rakdos, I would say, is the best. Celestia, I think, is good, especially with the ramp that you want to do. Yeah, Celestia is pretty good. 3-3. I mean, any 3-3 for 2 mana every time is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's really... I mean, they're all really good, but... Next question. What do we got?
Yeah, what else do you guys have for questions? Kirun Rakdos.
What about the best charm for limited and standard? That's actually a very good question.
Yeah.
I really like the Azorius ones and the Silentia ones. I think Azorius and limited and Silentia and standard. Well, it can work either way.
I don't know. Golgari charm is really good, I think. Just regenerating all your guys. I saw a couple feature matches. Yeah, exactly. I saw a couple feature matches where, you know, you think you're going to swing through all their guys or you're going to block in a way and one-sided kill them or trade one for ones. And Golgari Charm is just a blowout sometimes. But I do like Celestia because you get the 2/2 trample, you get the token, and then...
You exile a creature with power 5 or greater.
Right. That one's really good.
I like that one because it kills Olivia, it kills Thragtusk, it kills so much.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think that one's one of the better ones. I think my second choice of favorite charm really depends on what kind of player you are. If you're a control player, you're going to say Azorius.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an aggro player, you're probably going to say Golgari. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, right now, I'm like Mr. Jund right now. So Golgari for me is like a better play for me. But like, at heart, I've always been a control player. So yeah. Like, when I see Azorius, I'm like, oh my god, it's like Condemn and, you know, it's like a Condemn sort of in it.
Kind of. That's the thing about that card is like, it wants to be everything, right?
Oh, he just... BR8300.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that stands for anything.
He was on Tough stream earlier.
But he brought up an awesome point. Blowing out Supreme Verdict with a Golgari charm is nice.
Yeah.
I probably knew that, but like never just thought of it right now in the text of the conversation. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, or Bonfire. I mean, yeah. it just like...
I went and I purposely attacked into Dad's 2 key runes during our feature match. So I went and bonfired.
Oh.
And he was just like, what happened is I only did it to get rid of the key runes, and I pointed it out, and he didn't realize that they're still creatures.
Yeah.
And he was like, Golgari charm. Like, he had to think about it.
And no, like, I didn't have to think about it.
Yeah.
Once it was pointed out, then he was like.
No, I had already taken the life.
Oh.
And then she's like, the key runes too. And I'm like, oh. And, like, I paused for, like, 3 seconds on my Golgari charm, and she's like, oh, okay.
But like, oh, I would have called the judge so fast.
But technically, my 3-second pause was, oh, shit, can I get this Golgari charm out and get it out? And I was like, Golgari charm? And she's like, yep. And the judge is like, yep. And I'm like, woo!
Oh, you are so lucky. That's pure luck, because as soon as you make that life adjustment, it means...
You call it luck. I call it being tight.
Yeah, okay. All
right. Yeah, Greenleaf puts it back. Luck sack. Yep. Yeah, I call shenanigans too, Greenleaf.
Yeah, so I would say Golgari Charm. Azorius Charm is just... It's trying to do too many things, right? It's a control card at heart. And it plays some aggro features. It's got the lifelink thing, and then the... what's the other one?
Draw a card and then put target attacking or blocking creature on top of the library. Right.
So it has like 2 kind of controlish things, and then the lifelink really doesn't do a ton.
Now, Ryan, you know Ryan Greenleaf.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Greenleaf is one of the premier judges in the area. He's very, very knows the rules, knows how to run an event very, very well. As much as we love to give him crap and stuff like that, he's definitely one of the premier judges. Like the rest of the judges, mostly in the New England area.
Yeah, Rob Castellan, McButterpants.
You know, Casey Brefka, Elliot Raff. You know, we have really good judges in the area.
Yep.
But he is very patiently asked twice now, without typical Greenleaf, capital letters, blah. What do we think of Bant Control and Standard? And
Bant Control and Standard. I don't know the deck.
Okay. I played against it. Reed Duke posted a version about a couple weeks ago. I played against it specifically at Providence. It's essentially your typical blue-white control deck with Thragtusks, Supreme Verdicts, Detention Spheres, numerous Sphinx Revelations.
I'd assume Jason Tamio.
Jason Tamio was a 4/2 split, and it runs 1 Elixir of Immortality.
So you shuffle everything.
It's a grind-out deck. It's a total grind. I played against it with the Jund deck. I lost to him, and it was actually really bad because he tapped out for something and I killed it, and he has like 6 cards in hand, and I'm like, Rakdos Return for 6. And he's like, take 6, dump my whole hand. And I'm like, bitch, get there. I'm gonna smoke you now. And off the top, like in like 1 or 2 cards, he like draws land, I play a creature, he draws and Sphinx Revelations for 8.
So puts him 2 ahead of where it was.
Reloads his hand and gains 8 life. And then he's just like, Elixir, go. and proceeded to go through his entire deck.
So how does it win? What's its win condition?
Well, you can win with Thrag Tusk.
Okay.
You can win with, you could, you know, win with Tamiyo Ultimate, obviously.
Yep. Is it playing Thought Scour or anything like that to...
No. But he's playing Think Twice. Terminus. There's four Terminus. Four Terminus, one Supreme Verdict. I think three Detentions here. Four Thrag Tusk. I mean, it has, it's a grind deck, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy playing it said it went to time. Oh, yep, he's running. Oh, yeah, you're right. And it's got Entreat also.
Oh, yeah, so that's, you know, with Tamiyo.
I mean, just in general, I don't really like control decks right now. Just because of the fact that they're going to time in, it just seems like they're just trying too hard to stay alive. I played against a control deck in my feature round two, and I'm not sure if it was Miracles. He had a treat. I didn't see, like, Bonfire or anything like that, but... I got him to 4 the second game, and I was at 25.
And was this your feature?
Yeah.
The guy playing Nivisit.
But the thing was, is that I got him to 4 within, like, a while, and 25, and then he starts
That's what control does.
But the thing was, though, is that, like, he really had to, like, grind it out and stay alive. Granted, it did not help that I drew all land after that.
Yeah, see
but
that?
The point was is that I feel like they're trying too hard to try and be a deck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think control is dead, but I definitely don't think it's nearly as strong as a lot of the other creature-based archetypes out there right now. I mean, the Jund deck really blew me away to see the number of people that were playing it. And then the other deck that I was looking at was the blue-white control deck that was just running, just straight-up blue-white control. I mean, it didn't seem awful. And it must have top aided, right?
What did?
One of the blue white decks.
Edgar Flores took it to a top 8. Edgar Flores and Jake Modell. Edgar, obviously, everyone knows from Star City.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Modell's a really good player from Connecticut, who's a really, really good guy. And ironically, both of them lent me cards for that tournament. Jake lent me the Radko's Key Rune, and Edgar lent me my Blood Crypts.
Nice.
And so. Apparently, if you lend me cards for a tournament, you will top 8 based off that. Two people loaned me cards at tournament, and they both top 8-ed. So if you want to make top 8 of a big event, loan me cards.
Let me borrow a Legacy deck.
And you'll get there. And then also there was a lot of Bant control that's done well in states, too. Whole lot of Bant control. Although there was a Turbo Fog deck that top 8-ed Colorado.
Yeah. Well, I thought that Turbo Fog would have been one of the top choices going into states. I mean, it just seems you have all the right pieces right now.
Yeah. But I tried it. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. As much as I wanted it to work.
Well, if you remember, the first time you and I ever played at an FNM, you were playing Turbo Fog.
Okay, but to be fair, I wasn't playing Turbo Fog by choice. I was testing a deck for Smitty. And Smitty built that Fog deck because, you know me, I don't build decks. I have good players who give me decks.
Yeah, it should be 75.
Exactly. So Smitty was like, hey, pup, I have a new list. Take this for a spin. And we had already been killing it with Millblade for so long that was like, sure, blindly accept it. And I look at him, what the hell am I playing?
I think I ended up playing like... Black blue control against you, and it was a wicked grindy match. And then the next time I played against you, you were playing blue white control with White Sun Zena.
Adrian Sullivan's list that he shipped me. What was that list called, Mariah?
Hipster Control.
Hipster Control.
Well, it didn't become Hipster Control until after, right?
It was always Hipster Control.
Okay.
Anything, Adrian jams White Sun Zena into a deck, and it becomes Control.
Yep.
So, any other questions out there?
Tony, why did you move away from Arizona? I was kicking it in Phoenix with all of my boys, and I got a call from a company in Maine, and they were like, hey, have you ever wanted to move back to New England? And I was like, no. And they were like, hey, why don't we fly you up here and let us talk to you? And I was like, no. And they said, we're going to fly you out, and you come out and talk to us. I said, fine. And you know how business is.
Yeah.
Negotiations occurred. things were discussed, and it was definitely a couldn't say no offer. And next thing you know, peace Phoenix. But I do miss, if I've talked to a few players in Arizona, maybe 7 or 8 players, and I was like, you know what, if you moved to New England, you would absolutely just be in heaven with our competitive scene up here.
I say it every time we have one of these conversations. We have the richest Magic community when it comes to the world, I think. We have so many players and so many good players that come from the New England region.
And that's not taking anything away from any other state. I'm just saying that being able to go every weekend to a 1K, a 5K, a Pro Tour qualifier, a GPT, at least in Arizona, I mean, I only played in 2 GPTs my whole time in Arizona and 1 TCG qualifier. What are you laughing about?
And that's how Tony came to run Zumba classes in Southern Maine.
Wow.
Hey, he used an alias, all right?
Okay, so how much longer do you think there will be so much variance in top 8 decks, deck archetypes, archetypes, and will we ever settle in 3 to 4 tier 1 decks, or are we going to consistently have things like banned enchantment decks taking first?
I'm going to go outside, but before, I'll just say my first piece and let you guys, you know, sort of come off of it. I think we have another month of rich, different types of decks being shown before we start getting into rock, paper, scissors. But I think that this set is so good that it's not going to be as rock, paper, scissors as it has been in the past.
And
go.
And to build on that, I think that Wizards is doing this on purpose. If you look at formats like Modern, they've done a really good job at taking a bunch of Magic cards and a ton of really powerful Magic cards and just evenly distributing power across a lot of decks. And I think that they were able to accomplish that with this new RTR set for Standard. Time will tell. We might see Jund be the top deck again, but I have a feeling that we're going to see a lot of variance when it comes to top tier decks, and I think that's going to be for a while, especially when the next set comes out to complete the guilds.
People have been asking me why I play Naya, and I definitely say it's because when a set comes out, there's all these different decks running around, and until the format becomes stable enough, I always play Naya. Like, that's just how it is.
Well, I remember when Avacyn came out, right? Huge set. That was the first deck that you picked up, I think, was that
Naya deck. Naya deck.
Yep. And it was good. And I think it got better. I mean, look at it. Armada Worm just is one of the new Titans. The card's really, really good.
I was thinking, originally the list that I played off at Star City, it originally had 2 Cloud Shifts and 2 Visionaries. It was much more of a Blink deck. Mm-hmm. And we ended up switching out, like, and finishing off my Huntsmasters and putting in 2 Angels instead. But I was thinking, like, maybe I should put the Cloud Shifts back in. That way, I mean, just depending. Usually when I conscript a creature, it's to do lethal. But sometimes I do it to put them down low enough where they go onto defense and all that. But maybe I can link.
Yeah, but that's what Restoration Angel is for, too. So, I don't know. I think that it's too narrow of a spell.
But then that means that I need to have 9 mana out.
Well, no, that's not true. You just need to form... You need a Restoration Angel for the next turn. If you conscript...
Yeah.
And you take their thing, and you swing in, and you put them on defense, you don't actually kill them. Next turn, you can do it again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that... I wouldn't put Cloud Shift in, especially if the list is really tight right now.
It's okay.
And then let's see. Any other questions out there before we move on? Let's see here. Where are you guys? Looks like you broke into an empty office building. This is going to be the location of Grinders Games, which is located in Wells, Maine. And it is a...
former Zumba instruction studio.
As you can see, this is we're still doing some construction. but this is going to be the location of our new store in Wells, Maine. And you can, we're doing work. We're opening November 1st, so technically it is an empty building, but so that's where we're at. That's that question. Let's see. I haven't played since the original Ravnica. How standard now compared to then? Well, considering that Mariah was like 9 when the last Ravnica came out, she was still.
Did you play in Ravnica?
Okay.
The original?
The last time I took my first break from 2006 to 2009. And the reason why I know that was because I won states in 2006 and I said, okay, I'm quitting right now with a win.
You're quitting when you're queued for a pro tour and you decide not to go.
Yeah. We won't talk about that. But, that was my fourth pro tour I was queued for and I just like, nope, not going. Done. And I'm pretty sure I was playing, I won states with a black-white control deck, which was like with Phyrexian Arena, and there was one of those, the totems, remember the totems that were like the key runes?
Totems.
They made mana, like the Phyrexian totem.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was Time Spiral.
Okay, Achroma.
Yep.
Debtor's Knell.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure.
So that was Ravnica.
Okay, and I had, like, the black-white discard, like...
You were playing, like, Ghost Dad or something like that. It was, like, a black...
It was a black-white control deck.
Yeah.
But, and so I think
Sword
there was...
Sword Flare, maybe.
No. It was just called Orzhov Control. But it was... I think there was Ravnica cards in it.
Yeah, Orzhov is the Orzhov...
It was right before Ravnica. It was right before the whole game got oriental. But it was, like...
No, that was after.
Yeah, it was
like, because the Kamigawa block, like, if you... It depends on where you're talking about for Ravnica block. Kamigawa and Ravnica were two of the most busted sets ever since, like, Mirrodin.
I never played, I never got to go Ninjutsu Go. So I got out right, like... I think it was, like, the beginning of the Ravnica block, I think.
Yeah. No, because if you were playing with the totems, they were... Time Spiral. They were in the Time Spiral block. So you stopped playing before Tarmogoyf came out.
Yes.
But yes. In that same block. It was the first set.
Okay. All right.
I didn't play in Kamigawa block, so I can't really talk about that. But the original Ravnica block was really, really good. And from what I heard, it was one of the most fun sets to play out of any Magic set ever. So, and I think that Kamigawa and Ravnica, people say that it was a really diverse format. So I have a feeling that Wizards has kind of set themselves up for round two of that. Unfortunately, I can't answer your question very well. Sorry about that. But if you're not playing Magic right now and you're thinking about getting back into it, now would be the time. The new set just came out. So you have plenty of time to start building up for the rest of this block and then the next block.
Now, Greenleaf asked about sleeper picks from RTR. I'm going to actually ignore that question and see if someone else has a question because it's too soon.
Yeah, well, for sleeper picks for standard, I don't know. But sleeper picks for limited, I could probably talk about that a little bit.
My sleeper pick is for standard. I'll make one, Doorkeeper.
You think so?
I have no idea. I mean, you can't. Anyone listening to the
podcast? I was going to say Urban Burgeoning.
Anyone listening to the
make allows you
anyone
to
listening to the
during their turn.
Okay, so Moscow Demon. So Greenleaf goes sleeper picks in RTR, and I'm like, I'm going to ignore it. And Moscow Demon goes sleeper picks in RTR. I got you, Ryan. I'm not gonna ignore that one too. Just like fog, go. But the
fog and populate. Nobody plays that. There's no fog decks.
Anyone who's listening to the podcast and not watching the stream, like I said, Doorkeeper and made a face like I just shit my pants. Like, I think it could be good. I want it to be good, but I don't know. I'm not good with sleeper picks. Which one were you talking about? The fog and white one.
The foggy populate one?
What's it cost?
It's...
Well, green and a colorless. But it only prevents damage to you. So it still kill your those creatures can still kill planeswalkers and other creatures. It's okay. I like the in limited. I like the one green, one white, one colorless centaur guy that gains 3 life when he comes into play.
Oh, he's busted.
When I put that on the face on the Magikarp Pro Facebook page, people were like, "Oh, this card's not that good." I'm like, "You obviously have no idea what you're talking about. It's a 3/3 for 3. That's good on its own, and to gain 3 life when it comes into play."
Okay, but just even
and in a common
at the Hartford 5K, this was what someone did versus me. Turn 1, blah, Arbor Elf go. Turn 2, Center Healer. Okay, that was fine, mind you. My Pillar of Flames did nothing against that, so I just sat there and was like, eh. And then he's like, turn 4, end of turn, Restoration Angel. So he's at 26 with a 3/3 and a 3/4 flyer on the board, and I'm just sort of like, I'm effed.
Yeah. Yeah, like the card's really, really good. The walls are actually, I've seen some wall decks in Limited. The walls are pretty sleeper. Ogre Jailbreaker is obviously very good, but like Lobber Crew, Doorkeeper, Axebane Giant, and you know any bomb just to get them there. If you can get 2 or 3 Doorkeepers in your pool, you're probably going to win by mill. Card's really good.
That's what someone did versus us the other night in an RTR draft. They drafted a pretty decent wall deck, and either you have enough removal for it or you don't.
Right.
And because he had the 0/2 defender that lets you get a land, he had mana fixing, and essentially he just sat there with hover barriers and hover barriers. That's my sleeper. That's my sleeper. Jeremy Dombrick had that in his sideboard for his blue-white control deck to bring in against aggro, and it was absolutely insane because it stops everything. It stops Geist tokens.
Yep.
I mean, it stops Thrag Tusk. I mean, it's really, really good.
One card.
Did I Navigator become a thing? I don't think it ever will.
Oh, sorry. It's a judge.
Oh.
It's a judge talking.
All right. Can you just X out his
Sorry about that. Then? Sorry about that.
One card that I don't see, obviously, like, it doesn't get any standard play, but I'm not sure if it's just one of those rares that's really bad and people just don't crack often, or if it's just one of those rares people just don't play. It's the 7 costing enchantment, the black one.
Oh, something Betrayal, Eternal Betrayal.
That's the new Debtors now.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
I had that in my seal pool at the PTQ. We had like a stalled board state, and I was just like, I played it, and I was like, I'll swing in. And so he was like very like careful and precise with like all of his blocks to make sure nothing of his died.
No, that was no, and that's yeah. I mean, that card's a bomb.
Like, yeah, I think so too.
I think it would be one of those fun little projects for somebody to like figure out how to make that a deck, to have that and like just play Bonfire or something.
Or Mutilate mono black. Yeah.
Like
ramp. I mean, it doesn't even have to be mono black, but you can play key runes, anything that.
I'm actually more excited for Gatecrash.
For a specific guild?
Orzhov.
Orzhov guild.
I am stoked for that.
See, I'm a Demur player. I'm a black blue player.
I finally took the guild quiz that Mariah was bugging me to take forever, and I finally took it, and then I got the results. And I found out that you don't have to pick what guild they give you on your profile page, so I picked Orzhov. So I wasted like 6 minutes of my life. But
another card. Actually, after the feature match, like, got a bunch of friend requests on Facebook from players that saw, and one of the players was like, "Hey, do you think I can make a deck out of this card?" And it was the Azor's
Electromancer, the one that does the
upkeep. It gets a counter, and if it has 5 or more counters, you can.
Oh, Electrocutioner. No.
It gets a certain kind of counter.
Yeah, what's it's a certain time,
guys,
kind.
Guys, what's the counter called?
It's
like an Obama counter or something.
Whenever somebody deals damage to you,
filibuster.
It's a filibuster counter. That's right.
And then whenever somebody deals damage to you, a counter gets taken off. And he was like, "Do you think I can make a deck out of this?" And I was just like, not really right now. Like, it'd be cool and everything, but he was like, I wanted to make a detained deck, and was like, oh. I was like, yeah, but then you have to think about bonfire. There's the deck that's like playing bump. There's
The Rakdos bump deck.
Yeah.
You seen that? It's basically
Joe Karsdon shit all over me with that deck.
Yeah, that's fast.
I kept a double pillar, triple Huntsmaster hand versus him. So I was like, with land. And I'm like, A, I'm T-Pup, and B, this is great versus this. I did not miss a land drop. I did not miss a misplay. And he was still just like, crap on your face, go.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Well, it's like Hunter Thompson and I played the Rakdos Burn deck in Modern with like Bobs, and it was basically 21 Lightning Bolt dot deck.
Patrick Donnellan.
Hey, what's going on, Pat?
He's like, it seems really empty there. It's because it is. The guy with, you sound like Seth Rogen.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Thanks.
The guy with glasses is Josh, owner of MagicCardPro.com, who this podcast is going on.
Oh, by the way, for anybody that knows what MagicCardPro.com is, we're really, really close to a open beta, so anybody will be able to join. It'll be open to the public. We just finished bot draft AI, as well as a couple of other things. So stay tuned. It should be. I'm trying to get it out. I'm trying to get it out by this week, and hopefully we can get things going this coming weekend. So stay tuned. We'll make a big announcement out on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/MagicCardPro. And then I'm sure Grinders Games and everybody will announce it for us as well.
Definitely.
Any other questions before we skedaddle? Is that even a word anymore?
Skedaddle?
Yeah.
You just showed your age.
I'm so old.
You just showed your age. You might as well just been like, hey, yo, young Fuddruckers out there.
Do you guys have any insure?
You fuddle-duddles or whatever? I don't know. We've got... Just message me on Facebook.
Are we going to draft or sale?
I think we're going to maybe draft from home because... I'll tell you after. Sorry. No one on the podcast cares that I got stuff to do at home. No one on the podcast cares about my business. And if you do, then you need to get lives or something because my business is boring.
Yeah, or his phone number and a video camera in his bathroom.
And baby oil.
And baby oil.
Baby oil. Go.
Baby oil. I'll bring the saran wrap.
Do the whore face.
Whore face. Go.
All right, well, I think that's all the questions they had.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. If you want to hit us up with any questions on any of our Facebook pages, check us out on Facebook, one of the greatest social networks known to human beings.
Outside of MagicCardPro.com.
Actually, you know, I'm thinking of changing that slogan, the only social network for Magic players, because it kind of corners the website. It's like it's way more than a social network.
Yeah.
It's got a whole... I mean, really, it's a tool set for Magic players.
So, all human beings besides China.
Besides China.
Unless they have a phone that connects to Facebook.
Right.
I am currently in the process of setting up my own social network for North Koreans.
Nice.
And it'll only be available to North Korean Magic players.
Is it nkmtg.com?
Yes. It'll have all... No people who play Magic in North Korea, but I will have the most...
There's people in South Korea who play.
Right, but I don't care about them. I only care about North Korea.
Yeah, and so, South Korean players are horrible. They're so only good at StarCraft.
I will have the number one store, the number one website in North Korea for Magic players.
Nice.
With traffic, too.
All right, guys. Well, again, thanks for listening. It's a pleasure, and we look forward to... podcasting for you again in the near future. Have a great night. I'm waving at the screen the microphone.
Yeah, exactly. Like we can cut that off and go back to the stream.
See you guys.
No, we're not leaving the stream yet.